Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi, thank you for joining me today as we talk about our tears. We cry. We can cry hard and we can cry often. There are so many tears. And when we think there are no tears left, or we think we are finally past all of the crying, or at least most of it, something unexpectedly triggers another round of leaking from our eyes, doesn't it? The first year of special dates is always difficult for anyone who's lost a loved one, but for a parent who is a child missing, it can be almost unbearable. For me personally, Thanksgiving came first and brought with it the memory of how the year before, Becca had insisted on hosting the family, even though she was bound to a wheelchair. And then came Christmas, which was Becca's favorite holiday, in missing her. That was very difficult. And then the pain of the first time she was not there to celebrate her birthday, and so on. Eventually, it came around to that one-year anniversary of her death. For me and many others, in some ways, the second year is more difficult than the first, as if that's even possible. Now, if you are in the first year, I don't say that to terrify you, but to let you know if that happens to you, it's not abnormal. That second year took me by surprise because I thought, since I had been through all of the firsts of everything, that the second year would be easier. But what I realized is that the fog and the numbness had lifted. So I was feeling the full weight of our loss. Now, some of you have had that fog lift during the first year, so the second year wasn't like mine. Some of you won't have that numbness lift until later. We're all on the same path, but we're walking out our own unique journey together on that path. So for me, after that second year, things slowly started getting, I'll call it, better, as I started learning how to function again and figuring out how to live while remaining here on Earth without my daughter, Becca, to share it with. When this episode comes out, it will be our 14th holiday season without Becca. How is that even possible, I ask myself every year. Seems to be a roller coaster that seems to smooth out a bit more each year, but I just never know if I will get through a particular holiday or a specific date okay, or if I will struggle and have a lot of tears that time. Jesus knew that when his dear friend Lazarus died, it was only temporary. When we read the verse, he wept, we're talking a few hours. Yet we know that Jesus wept. There are a few translations that say Jesus burst into tears. This is John 11:35. One translation says, then tears streamed down Jesus' face. Now, I feel like this gives us full permission to cry with missing our child, no matter how far we are into this. If Jesus can cry just a few hours before he knew he was going to see Lazarus again and raise him from the dead, we can certainly cry not knowing when we're going to see our child again, right? When we're going to be reunited. So if you want or need to cry, go ahead and cry as hard as you need to. Take some time alone and have a good cry, a lot, if you need to do so. Let your tears be the gift God gave them to be. And yes, you heard that right. Let your tears be a gift from God. It has taken me an entire lifetime to learn that tears are a gift from God. I know some people can't seem to cry, but that is not the case for me. Tears have flowed freely and easily for me all my life. Some of you have heard me share a couple of stories about this. When I was young, this is not something I remember, but something my mom tells me. When the original Winnie the Pooh movie came out, she took me to the movie theater to see it. And if you're familiar with that original Winnie the Pooh movie story, he gets stuck in Rabbit's hole from eating too much honey. And so he has to go a long time without eating so that he can get skinny again, so they can get him through Rabbit's Hole, and they decide to try pulling on him, and they, from the outside, they give him a, you know, a big heave-ho, and when he pops out of that hole, he goes flying through the air, and he lands and gets stuck in a tree. And the movie ends with him eating all this honey because he landed inside of a honey tree, so now he's eating all this honey. Well, I guess I sat in the theater and I cried because Winnie the Pooh was stuck again. And my mom had to, you know, make me feel better by telling me, oh, but he's eating all that honey and he's happy. Well, another story that you may have heard me share, if you've heard me speak personally, is in Wisconsin Dells, there was a place called Storybook Gardens, and they made stories come to life. Mother Goose, Hickory Dickory Dock, they had just big statues, moving animated things. They had people dressed up in costumes. Well, little Bo Peep came by, and she had lost her sheep and was asking if we knew where her sheep was because she had lost her sheep. I cried. I cried because little Bo Peep had lost her sheep. And so she went and got her sheep, and she found me in the park so that she could tell me she had found her sheep. And we actually have a slide picture of me standing by little Bo Peep and her sheep. So, you know, I was told growing up that I could turn my tears on faster than anyone. And I grew up struggling with that for many, many years, even into my adult life. You know, do people feel like I'm trying to manipulate them by my crying? But the thing is, what I feel is very deep and it's very real. I'm one of those people that can watch the end of a show, walk into a room, see the last scene in a show or, you know, just one scene and cry, not even knowing what the movie's about. I can't watch those commercials that show starving children or abused animals. I can't do that. I feel it too deeply. I even had a pastor tell me once that I needed to stop crying when I ministered to people because it makes them uncomfortable. But the thing is, when I feel their pain, sometimes I just can't help it. My tears flow as my heart hurts for them. Some of you have experienced my tears for you because of all these things. So somehow I did make myself get to a point where I did not cry because it was just... It just seemed like such a bad thing from the people around me. Now, this was several years before Becca died. When God finally broke me and I sobbed alone at home in His presence one day, He spoke to my heart and He told me that if I don't allow myself to cry, it means I have allowed my heart to get hard. And that's not something I want. I do not want a hardened heart. I did that once. And I'll never do it again, no matter how embarrassing my tears may be to others or even to myself, because I can't help it. Like I said, I know that some of you write to me and you ask me if something's wrong with you because you don't cry at all about your child. Now, I'm not judging you. I'm not saying you have a hard heart. Please listen to me. God has created us all differently. I'm just sharing my personal experience with tears, and there have been a lot of them over the years. We can have, like I did, the perspective that tears are a bad thing and we want to know how we can stop crying. Or we can have the perspective that maybe tears are a gift from God as a way for our love to be expressed that has nowhere to go, especially for those of us who have lost a child. Some even call it liquid love for our children. It spills out from our souls, washing away some of the pain. And I know you may feel like your pain isn't being washed away, but I can guarantee you something happens when we cry. Even all these years later, I still have days where I just want to go back to bed and ignore life, have a good cry. What do I do when those days hit? Well, for me personally, first, I cry. Like I said, tears have always come easily to me, which has been both a curse and a blessing. The thing is, we all know that having a good cry is exhausting. So that makes me want to climb back into bed even more because of how drained I feel. But deep down, I also want to get past whatever roadblock triggered me and has me feeling overwhelmed and ready to give up on a lot of things. So one day, quite a while back when that happened, I found myself writing an email to someone and I was dumping out all of my woes and my frustrations. And that did three things. First of all, it let me see the things that I am upset about if they're really valid or maybe they're not valid. It got it out of my system. keeping me from holding on to it. And when I hold on to things like this, I start seeing myself as a victim, and I start having a martyr mentality, which no one around me appreciates for good reason. I'm affected physically when I hold on to it. My body actually starts to shut down, and the longer I hold on to it, the longer it takes me to recover and for my body to come back from that. Now, I found I gave myself, you know, in writing this email, a different way of looking at it and possible solutions to get around some of these frustrations that I was feeling and things that made me cry. After I reread the email, it was like a page and a half that I'd written to my friend, I canceled the email instead of sending it. Why? Well, because she really didn't need to have me dump on her like that, and I felt better, so I just didn't need to send it. So the next time you're feeling that overwhelming sense of, I can't do this, I can't go on, I give up, I suggest having a good cry, if you're like me, and then tell someone in writing what's going on inside you. You don't have to be an author. You don't have to be good at grammar. You don't have to edit it. Just write it out. Write to your child. Write to me if you want to. And then when you've read through what you've written and you've had a release, don't send it for the same reasons I didn't send mine. And then if you need to go back to bed and you can, do that. Because this grief journey really is about you, especially if you're in those first couple of years of grief and you are in survival mode. You may not feel better after a good cry in missing your child, but I do believe that those tears are being used to wash your heart of the darkness of grief. And at some point, the tears won't come as often, but it will happen for the rest of our lives. The liquid love for our children spilling from our souls, allowing them to wash away some of the pain. One morning a few years ago, I was spending time with the Lord and I got a picture in my mind. Now, some believers refer to that as a vision, but the picture I had in my mind was pretty incredible. I saw an image and I knew that image was Jesus, and he was sitting behind a potter's wheel. Now, he was shaping the clay on the wheel, and it was his tears that were wetting the clay as he formed it. Wow. Just take a minute and let that sink in. Jesus's tears were the water that was helping mold and shape the clay. If you're like me, you're familiar with Isaiah 64:8 that says we are the clay and he is the potter. Now, I know I've heard messages or even seen a potter at work how sometimes they have to slam the clay back on the wheel and start all over. But have you ever thought about how he is hurting with us? Imagine the tears of Jesus being the water that allows us to be formed into a beautiful vessel. And let me add that this is not in spite of your child's death, but you can and will be a beautiful vessel shaped by the Lord's tears because of your child's life. We don't know why he did not stop our children from leaving this earth ahead of us, especially knowing how much pain it would cause. We probably won't know until we can see the full picture like he can and like our children can, who are on the other side of eternity. They're no longer bound to this world like we are. But Jesus hurts deeply for us and with us. And as we cry, he's crying with us in our darkness and our pain. Tears are a big thing to God. In Psalm 56, verse 8, we are told that God keeps our tears in a bottle. It says, "You have seen me tossing and turning through the night. You have collected all my tears and preserved them in your bottle. You have recorded every one in your book." I often say that we as bereavers are going to have some of the biggest bottles in heaven, if that's the case. And when we get to heaven, we're told that God himself will wipe away the tears from our eyes. Let me read Revelation 25, verses 3 to 5 from the Message Bible. It says, "I heard a voice thunder from the throne. They are his people. He's their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death is gone for good. Tears gone. Crying gone. Pain gone. All the first order of things gone. The enthroned continued, "Look, I am making everything new." Oh, wow, what a glorious day that will be. It reminds me of the hymn that says, "When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory." I don't know if some of you guys know that from a hymnal or not, but I just think of that song. But until then, until we're in that place where God wipes away our tears, allow your tears to continue to be the gift they are, a release valve for the pain and suffering we all go through here, and the liquid love that will continue to pour out as we miss our children, waiting to be reunited with them, never to be separated again. Is the month coming up a rough month for you? Some rough dates in there, maybe your child's birthday, a death date, something else in there that just makes August extra hard for you? If so, you may want to consider getting the August edition of the Reflections of Hope book. Now, this book has a short daily reading along with a scripture and a final thought or a reflection to think about what you just read. Now, this is not something you need to pressure yourself to read every day, although some Pereavers do. When you need that extra word of encouragement, just pick it up and read that day's entry. You can't fall behind in this book. You can't. You just read the day you're on when you need to read something. So to find out more about this, go to gpshope.org/reflections. You can order it on Amazon, and the last I checked, it's free on Kindle Unlimited, the August edition of Reflections of Hope. Did you know that this month is National Bereaved Parents Month? I'm going to tell you about another book right now. We are offering My Grief Journey for only $5 from our GPS Hope web store. Now, this is a book with 42 words that have to do with our grief journey, such as overwhelmed, alone, longing, memories, confusion, rest, purpose, heaven. Each word has my personal thought about that word, along with an appropriate scripture. And each word is also surrounded by a drawing that my friend Kath Brinkman did by hand that you can color if you would like to. And it also has a prompt in that page in the middle of the drawing with that word so that you can write your own personal thoughts about that word. Now, this book is used by support groups, and it's great for that. They read the short page about the word, and then they use the journaling prompt for their discussion, such as pain. The prompt there is, "I manage my pain by," or "fear, my greatest fear is," or "healing, I feel or felt a measure of healing when." So that's what this book is like. And at this price of only $5, if you are part of a support group, you meet with other Pereavers, or you know other Pereavers, you could pick up a book for each one of you in your group or those that you know. Also, in case you're interested, a lot of Pereavers asked if there was a children's version of the book. And so we did finally put one together. It's called My Grief Journey for Kids. Just go to the store on gpshope.org, click on the tab for the books. You'll be able to see both of them there, and you can place your order there as well. Also, now that our Weekend of Hope is coming this next week and it's almost behind us already, I want to get back to reminding you about the grief cruises. I know that sounds like an oxymoron, but it's a wonderful experience that will strengthen and refresh you spiritually, emotionally, and mentally, and maybe even physically, depending on what you do with your free time. Now, the grief seminar takes place during the 3 days at sea, so you don't miss out on any of the ports of call or the evening ship activities and entertainment. This is for anyone with a deep loss, not just for those who have lost a child, but GPS Hope will have several sessions for Pereavers, along with some chances for us to meet together as a group. This is a 7-night Eastern Caribbean cruise on the beautiful Royal Caribbean ship Symphony of the Seas. And it doesn't happen until the end of February of 2025. So you can put money down and then pay a little bit at a time as you're able. So check it out at gpshope.org/cruise. Now, just to let you know, if you click the button on that page for more specific registration information, and then you decide to book your cruise, GPS Hope will get a portion of your seminar registration fee. By the way, I will turn 62 while on the cruise. What a fun way to celebrate a birthday, surrounded by Caribbean ocean beauty and surrounded by Perivers from our GPS Hope family. I really hope you can join us. Now, I will put a link to all three of these things I mentioned in the show notes. Let's go ahead with this week's birthday segment. Caden Josephine Turner was born on July 26th. And is forever 18. Sage Cook Remigio was born on July 27th, and he is forever 8 weeks and 2 days old. We celebrate the day these children came into the world. We know it will always be a special day in the lives of these families. If you would like to have your child's birthday announced, I would love to be able to do that. Just go to gpshope.org/birthdays. Fill out that information, including the pronunciation of your child's name. If sometimes it gets mispronounced, because I want to make sure I say your child's name correctly for you, submit that information, and we will add your child to the birthday segment the week of his or her birthday. And Dave will also send you an email to remind you to listen that week so you can hear their name. I am so thankful the Bible lets us know it is okay to cry, especially because Jesus himself cried, and he is our example. If Jesus shed tears over something painful, we know it's okay for us to cry over something painful. Now, here's something to think about. Our tears are not just our liquid love for our child, but they are his liquid love for us as well. Like I said, he is crying with us and through us. As you think about this, I pray that he will pour out his love on you in a way that you know it's real and that it brings peace and comfort in the midst of your pain and sorrow. You can still have hope in the midst of all your tears. So hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.